Welcome to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast, where we ask 10 questions of leading attorneys in the United States about what drives their firm forward. Today, your host is Billy Tarasio.
Hi there, this is Billy Tarasio from the Tiger Tactics podcast, and I am joined today by Jim Hart. Welcome.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks for having me.
So, Jim, I'm so excited to have you here because you and I are both family law attorneys. So tell me a little bit about your practice.
So right now I have a solo practice. I'm in Cary, North Carolina, and primarily family law. And we help a lot of clients who are in the Triangle, Research Triangle Park. And there's a lot of tech people, a lot of engineers, a lot of wealthy people in this area that we can help. And they're going through divorce, and we try and get them through it as amicably as possible and the least amount of pain as possible so that they can come out on the other side and have a good life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. How old is your firm?
So I've been practicing since 2005 on my own, and we moved to North Carolina from Florida in 2009. So for 5 years or so, I was in Florida, and then we moved here.
We have very similar journeys. I was also done with law school in 2005 and then moved from Oregon to Arizona in 2009. So our firms have some similar paths going for sure. One of the things that I am so impressed with your firm is with systems, with the extent that you've documented your systems for training and scaling. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So basically what I've done in my firm, and to try and make it as easy as possible for, I want to make it so that somebody can come into my firm with very little experience and ideally with very little training and can know exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it, how they need to do it. And the way we've done that is by using several different programs in tandem. And it all starts with, I would say, we use Clio, which I know you can appreciate as our case management system. But Clio, their task management program is really pretty lacking. And so we were looking for other solutions. We've tried a number of things, but we ultimately settled on Asana. The reason I like Asana is because it allows for list-based tasks as well as the more visual storyboards like you'll see with a Tetra, or not Tetra, the one you use.
Trello,
that's right. Mm-hmm. And so, Asana is really great. It's really user-friendly. And so we put all the checklists for everything that needs to be done in Tetra. And then each of those items has a description box. And in the description box, we include a link to Tetra, which is basically an internal firm wiki. And we have several hundred policies, processes, and procedures that we put into Tetra, where basically it outlines what needs to be done. It's more in-depth look into the things that need to be done. So that's just the bite of the apple, so to speak, of what we do. You know, we've got automations built in with Lawmatics. I use ConvertKit for email marketing. And so we have a bunch of other things there. But everything is really built around the idea that we can use technology to make ourselves more efficient and to make us more productive and save us time.
Okay. And with that, Jim, I need to do a word from our sponsors, and then I want to talk about how it is that you have built that, because a lot of firms want to know, how do I go about building what you've built? But first, a quick word from our sponsors. The Tiger Tactics team has a heavy presence at one of the best legal marketing and firm building conferences in the country, Max LawCon 19. I personally attended Max LawCon with Jim just a few weeks ago, and it was a great time. So I think it is a great conference, and I think you all should be there in 2020. Next year's conference is expected to be even bigger and better. Get more information about Max LawCon 2020 by going to MaximumLawyer.com. If you want to build your brand and get your firm noticed in the community, social media marketing can be your tool to dominate your local market. But too many lawyers and agencies treat social media marketing like just another place to spend money. That's just wrong. At FirmFlex, we can show you the way to build your brand the right way on social media. Want to grow your brand on social media the right way? Visit getfirmflex.com. And finally, if your law firm feels out of control or you don't know how to achieve growth and predictability, you need to know about Modern Law Practice. Modern Law Practice is designed to optimize law firms with coaching and implementation of best practices of everything from technology to data to financial modeling, culture, management, and more. Don't wait for your firm to start bringing you peace and prosperity. Contact www.modernlawpractice.com today. So Jim, tell us about how you've gone from opening your firm roughly 10 years ago to having all of those systems and processes documented and talking to each other.
Well, it was a slow process. I mean, honestly, I started with a Google Doc. I started simple. I mean, I had a Google Doc that had links to different, you know, if intake process, there'd be a hyperlink in within the document that would go down. And then at some point, I started moving to, I used a WordPress site for a little while. And then probably about a year and a half ago, I switched over to Tetra and discovered that. And it just was a much easier way to add pages really quickly and embed videos. And it was much simpler to use. You didn't have to worry about all the layout and the fluff that comes with WordPress. So Tetra is a system that I really love. But I've always been big on checklists and systems. I don't know if you've ever read the Checklist Manifesto, which is an amazing book. And I mean, I read that probably several years ago and realized what I need to do with my practice. And so now we've gone, and I should say, we don't just have stuff in Asana. I've started to build out a notebook that has, you know, checklists in it. So if for some reason the internet's not working, you can still go to the notebook. It's not as updated, but that's how we started, is, you know, pen and paper and just printing checklists off and putting them in a notebook. And so it's been a long journey, but it's, you know, you take it day by day and step by step.
Absolutely. And so do you write the processes yourself, or do you have someone in your office do it?
So both. Obviously, it was starting out, I did it myself. And I've had paralegals do it for me as well. So I mean, still to this day, I have no idea how to e-record a deed. But there's a process in the system of how to e-record a deed, because one of my past paralegals did that for me, and she did a great job. And so so it's been both. I think it's really important to train your staff on how to do this for you, because ideally at the end of the day, what we're all, I imagine it's true for you as well, because you've done it. We want to step away from the practice of law, and we want to replicate ourselves. And the only way to do that is with systems that can allow other people to do what you're doing right now.
I love that so much. How big is your team now, and how much time do you spend practicing versus all the business?
So right now my team is just me. I'm a solo, and I'm in the process of hiring a paralegal. I had to let somebody go last month, and I'm trying to replace that person. Actually, as soon as we got the phone, I've got a phone call with an interview with somebody. But I use a lot of virtual staff. So I've used virtual staff to help me with marketing. I have a virtual receptionist that answers my phones. I've had a virtual bookkeeper that's done my books. And so I've used a lot of different virtual people to help me in roles that would normally have been a more traditional in-person at the firm type of job. And so right now it's just me, but my goals and my aspirations are large, and I'm hoping that by the end of this year and into next year that, you know, we'll start to grow and have more staff in place and start to hire some associates as well.
That's really exciting. But if you don't mind, let's talk for a minute about the paralegal you had to fire, because that's another topic that we cover in Tiger Tactics, and people is one of the hardest things. So what happened with the paralegal?
So hiring and managing people is a huge struggle for me. And I'll tell you right now. So I'm in a program called Atticus, and they've got a book called Hire Slow, Fire Fast. And they talk about who you're supposed to hire. And I didn't follow their advice. And that's why I'm in the predicament I'm in right now, where I have to talk to somebody else about bringing somebody on. So there's three types of people that you can hire. You've got your full bucket person, which is somebody you can hire and bring in. They basically can run your firm but not practice law. You've got your half bucket people. You can bring them in. They need some training. They're going to take a little bit of time on your part, but eventually they're going to get there. And then you got your empty bucket people, and those are people that are like straight out of school and have no experience. two out of the three people that I've hired most recently, probably within the past year, were all empty bucket people. And they're no longer with me. And I think there's something to be said for that. It was a huge mistake on my part to hire these people because they really didn't know what they were doing. And it was really hard to bring them up to speed. A lot of times they're millennials, and millennials, there's a different mindset about them. And you can find some good millennials, but they're not always great, if that makes sense. And so right now I'm looking for a full bucket person. And a full bucket person, in my opinion, is basically going to be able to run my firm if I'm not there. But they're going to be really expensive. And one of my colleagues, who's of counsel to my firm, we were talking about this at coffee a couple weeks ago, and I asked him, he mentioned to me that he paid this person $60,000. And I said, well, that's a lot of money. But he said, yeah, but she billed $80,000 in the first quarter. Well, that's the whole point, right? Is that you want to bring somebody on who ideally you're going to recover at least three times their salary in revenue for the firm. And if you're not doing that, then you're probably doing it the wrong way. For the two out of the three people that I hired most recently, I was losing money on both of them. And that's why they're no longer with me. And the third person that I hired was actually great. She was a full bucket. She would have been fantastic. But ironically enough, she was going through a divorce, and her husband kept her from moving closer to our firm. She lived about an hour and a half away, and she was supposed to move, but she couldn't. So,
yeah, it's really hard. I like that you hiring is hard to me. It's like part magic and part science. And the science part is the data piece. You know, are they billing enough? Are they bringing in enough? Are they following the systems? Are they doing the objective things they need to do? And then there's the magic. How do you make sure that you're getting someone that fits with your firm culturally?
So I use, I'm actually developing it right now, and I don't know if you've done this before. If you're not, you should. And it's basically a values scorecard. So what I did is I sat down and it took an entire afternoon a couple Fridays ago, and I basically listed out all the things that are really important to me and my firm. And that was step one. So these are the values that are really important. If this person can't follow these, then they're not going to work with my firm. And then what I did is I put up two columns. One column was, if I were to grade this person, and they, if we scored them on a scale of, let's say, 1 to 5, a 1 or 2 would be, here's, I should have pulled it up before the call. But if they were doing a 1 to 2, what would that look like? So let's say one of the values is technology is really important for my firm. Mm-hmm. And this person doesn't understand technology, doesn't care about technology. You know, if you give them a computer system and ask them to look something up on Google, they don't know what Google is, that would be probably a 0, right? A 5 would be somebody who, they love technology, they have a computer science background, you know, programming stuff, doing Excel spreadsheets, all that kind of stuff is stuff they love to do. And so basically I did that with every single one of the values. So I probably had like 8 or 10 values. And I outlined, okay, what does it look like if they're not meeting expectations? What does it look like if they are? And then what I can do is, once I bring this person on board, I can give them a copy of this spreadsheet or of this scorecard, and they can grade it themselves, and then I can grade it with them. And basically we can decide at what point are they not meeting the bar for what my firm needs. And they know exactly what's expected of them because they've got the score sheet that tells them, here's how you know you're doing what you need to be doing. And in this case, here's how you know whether or not you meet the values for our firm. And mm-hmm. So I talk to people about that during interviews. I talk to them about the values for the firm during interviews so that you try and weed those people out that really aren't going to be a good fit.
I love that. I use something similar in my firm called the People Analyzer, which I borrowed from the book Traction. And it's mm-hmm. the same concept. But not only do we do it when we hire people, but we do it every single quarter, because it's very easy for people to be going through something or maybe forget that the values of the firm or be unaware that they're not embodying those values. And it just helps keep this constant
redirection, because I find having employees is a lot like having kids. Like you can teach them something, but you're never done.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, because I was in preparing for today, I was listening to one of your past podcasts where you said in 2014 you were really struggling with staff, and you know, it was like you were just, you know, writing, and you weren't, and maybe I read it in Tiger Tactics too. I think you said the same thing. And I thought of, there's an attorney I know who's in Orlando, and she's got an estate planning practice, and she is also an Atticus. And she was telling us a story about how a couple of years ago, she decided, she made it her goal for, it was like 2017, to focus only on her staff. And she wasn't doing anything else. She's focused on her staff every single day, every single quarter. And at the end of that year, it was the most profitable year she ever had. And she didn't do anything different except for focus on making her staff happy and making sure she had the right people in the right seats. And I think that's really important. If you don't have those right people in place, then you're not going to grow. And that's the problem I've had as a firm, is that's probably the biggest thing that's kept me back, is not getting the right person in the right seats. If I had, I think that I'd be in a much different place right now. But that's been a big thing that's holding me back.
Jim, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today. I know we've gone over our allotted time, but I could talk to you for hours. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to you.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast. If you have read Tiger Tactics and want to be a guest, please visit Amazon.com to leave a review, or go to TigerTacticsBook.com to join our mailing list.